Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
Walter Brueggemann, a well-known biblical scholar, once suggested the following definition for the word vocation. A vocation, he said, is a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. There can be no doubt that Jesus had a deep sense of vocation, a strong conviction that his purpose for being in the world was directly related to the purposes of God. Again and again, he repeats the claim that he has been sent into the world by the Father, not to do his own will, but God's will. Not to accomplish his own purposes, but to accomplish the purposes of God. The words he speaks and the deeds of power that he does are signs of God's light and life breaking into the world. Everything he says, everything he does, his very purpose for being in the world reflects the purposes and intention of God. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus shares his sense of his particular vocation or calling with the people of his hometown by drawing on the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the reason for which I have been sent into the world, he is saying. This is my vocation, my calling, my purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. And Jesus invites each of us to share in that same vocation, to discover for ourselves a purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. So, what is our vocation? What is the purpose for which we have been created? We could answer that question in two parts. First, we could speak of the general vocation that all of us share. And second, we could consider the particular vocation that each of us has. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, speaks about our general vocation, the vocation that all of us share, in this way. He asks us to, quote, "Remember that in the Old Testament, calling and creating are closely associated. Creation springs into being in order to answer God's speech, God's call, so that his word does not return to him empty. So in the most basic sense of all, God's call is the call to be. The vocation of creatures is to exist. And second, the vocation of creatures is to exist as themselves, to be bearers of their names, answering to the word that gives each its distinctive identity. The primary vocation of a human being, says Williams, is to be a human being, to be what God meant us to be when God spoke us into being. This is our general vocation, to be human beings created to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And when we are acting in ways that are congruent to what we have been called into existence to be, we will find fulfillment, happiness, and peace. But we also have a particular vocation, a calling or callings that are a reflection of who we are as unique individuals. God calls each of us. There are no exceptions to some particular way of being in the world that is related to the purposes of God. And so some of us will be teachers or accountants or construction workers. We will create or perform or preach or administer or sell or parent. Some of us will be lovers of nature or lovers of children or lovers of the elderly or lovers of the poor. Some of us will be friendly or clever or encouraging or brave. Whatever we are and whatever we become will be an expression of the unique individuality that each of us possesses. This particular vocation, the one that will be ours and ours alone, will be an expression of our talents, our interests, our personalities, and our passions. But it will not be for ourselves alone. Every vocation, every call must benefit others. Our vocation, our purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God, must always include others. It must always lead us into community with others, simply because all vocations are an expression of the life of God, who is himself a community of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bound together in mutual love and self-giving. A true vocation will always be of service to others. I want to tell you a story this morning that illustrates, for me, what having a vocation is all about. The story is from Robert Coles, the well-known Harvard psychologist and teacher, and is recorded in his book, The Call of Service. In 1961, Robert Coles traveled to New Orleans to meet and to study the 6-year-old girls who were the first to integrate the New Orleans public schools. He was fascinated by them, by their strength and stoic courage in the face of tremendous pressure and opposition. He wondered what made it possible for them, day after day, to walk past angry, shouting mobs who hurled insults and threats at them in order to enter their new school. The girls had to be accompanied to school by U.S. Marshals because local and state police refused to protect them. Cole tells us about Tessie, a first grader at the McDonough School. One morning when Coles was visiting Tessie's home, he witnessed a conversation between the girl and her grandmother, Martha. For the very first time, Tessie was hinting that she might like to stay home from school that day. Coles writes, "On that day, Tessie was not so much reluctant to go to school as tired and weary. She was recovering from a bout of the flu. She had slipped and fallen while playing in a nearby backyard, and she didn't like her substitute teacher." The grandmother, privy as always to the child's worries, doubts, and difficulties, knew full well her granddaughter's state of mind that early morning. Tessie had suggested over breakfast that perhaps for the first time she would stay home from school. The grandmother said, yes, that would be fine if Tessie truly wasn't well. But if she was more discouraged than sick, that was quite another matter. "It's no picnic, child. I know that, Tessie, going to that school. Lord Almighty, if I could just go with you and stop there in front of that building and call all those people to my side and read to them from the Bible and tell them, remind them that he's up there, Jesus, watching over all of us. It don't matter who you are or what your skin color is." but I stay here and you go. And your mama and your daddy, they have to leave the house so early in the morning that it's only Saturdays and Sundays that they see you before the sun hits the middle of its traveling for the day. So I'm not the one to tell you what you should do. Because here I am, and I'll be watching television and eating or cleaning things up while you're walking by those folks. But I'll tell you, you're doing them a great favor. You're doing them a service, a big service. Martha stopped briefly to pick up the fly swatter and go after a bee that had noisily appeared in the kitchen. She hid it and watched it fall to the floor, then plucked a tissue from the box on the counter, picked up the bee, still alive, and took it outside where it flew off. I was surprised. I'd expected her to kill the bee and put its remains in the wastebasket. She resumed speaking and again, to my surprise, connected her rescue of the bee to what she had started to say. You see, my child, you have to help the good Lord with his world. He puts us here, and he calls us to help him out. That bee doesn't belong here. It belongs out there. You belong in the McDonough School. And there will be a day when everyone knows that. Even those poor folks, Lord, I pray for them, those poor, poor folks out there shouting their heads off at you. You are one of his people. He's put his hand on you. He's given you a call to service in his name. There's all those people scared out of their minds, and by the time you're ready to leave the McDonough School, they'll all be calmed down, and they won't be paying you no mind at all, child, and I'll guarantee you that's how it'll be. As she was speaking, Coles writes, Tessie finished her breakfast, marched confidently to the sink with her dishes, put them in a neat pile, and went to get her raincoat and empty lunch pail from her room, all without saying a word. She was going to school. The gift that Martha was giving Tessie in this conversation was the gift of vocation. She was instilling in her a sense that her purpose for being in the world was related to the purposes of God. She was teaching her the way of service. You're doing them a great favor, she says. You're doing them a service, a big service. Martha helps Tessie to hear and to respond to God's call. You're one of his people, she tells her. He's put his hand on you. He's given you a call to service in his name. And that is all the reassurance that Tessie needs. Even at the tender age of 6, she knows that she belongs to God, that she's been chosen by God and put here for a specific purpose. She has been called to help the good Lord with his world by loving and serving others, even her enemies, for Christ's sake. And that is the source and secret of her inner strength. So what is your vocation? For what have you been created? What is your purpose for being in the world that is related to the purposes of God? What is the particular way in which you will be a channel of God's light and life in the world? If you don't know, ask God to show you. If you do, live it with all your heart and all your strength. Be that expression of God's goodness and love that only you can be.